Okay, I presented the starting points of my study 3 years ago when we had the opening seminar of our project, The Fourth Shift. And now I want to share with you some of my findings during this research journey. And these are just preliminary notes about some aspects of my data which I myself find quite interesting. So this is kind of a concrete presentation, if you can say so. So I started my project with one main kind of a naive question in my mind: how it feels to live in precarious labour market conditions. I was uneasy with the tendency to examine and explain precarity merely from the structural and historical point of view. And at the same time, I was dissatisfied with the way that the subjective aspects of precarity were usually portrayed in both popular and scientific discourses. And the experience of precarity was usually reduced to uncertainty, which involves lack of certainty concerning future employment situation and income. And these aspects may well be significant, but when we describe the subjective side of precarity, yet they do not grasp the whole picture. As Amanda Ehrenreich has pointed out, the forms of exploitation in precarious situation are not classical in a sense. They are intertwined into the situation in a more complex manner. They can manifest themselves not merely as feelings of uncertainty, but for example as a disintegration of energy and affective turbulence. When combined with so-called classical ways of exploitation, for example, poor working conditions, these new forms of exploitation can cause feelings of intensive ambivalence and constant rebuilding of ambition and goals. So I wanted to approach this question as some kind of anatomy of insecurity, to analyze what precarity really means at a subjective level in more depth and in more detail. I have been carrying out so-called phenomenology of subjective precarity and trying to find out different ways of feeling, living and coping with precarious labour market conditions, focusing on what these conditions are and how they can be subjectively felt, lived and coped with. The concept of agency, as described by Louis McNay, has been helpful. It has been a mediating concept which allows us to study the leakages between the everyday experience at a structural level. And the modalities of agency can tell us the way of being and feeling characteristic to a precarious subject. So I'm going to speak a bit about my data because I'm mainly speaking of that. And the whole data of my thesis consists of total of 55 thematic or open interviews. And the data is divided into three pools. And the first pool consists of selected interviews originally carried out during the Adults Everyday project in 2003. And 14 participants, 10 women and 4 men, were selected based on their precarious labour market attachment and interviewed again in 2009. And the third data pool, 31 interviews, I have received from the Finnish Social Science Data Archive. And these interviews were originally collected by Sikke Leinikki for her doctoral thesis, in which she analysed the forming of the occupational identity of the well-educated fixed-term employees. And 22 of the interviewers were women, 9 of them men. And most of the interviews on the whole data lived in unstable labour market conditions. They had, for example, fixed-term employment contracts, worked as a freelancer, were unemployed or in between jobs, and they were mainly well-educated and worked in diverse fields. And when talking about precarity, I'm not talking about it in terms of one's employment contract only, because precarity can also be approached as a wider process which is connected to larger transformation in labour and production markets. Thus, people cannot be divided into precarious or non-precarious individuals because the process involves everyone. Still, I think that some situations are more fragile than others. For example, when one is unwillingly unemployed or underemployed, fearful of the prospect of losing one's job, of facing only a few alternatives, and therefore being forced into undesirable work conditions. And these situations do not define the precarious subject, but I start from the premise that they may intensify the experience. So after preliminary analysis of my data, I become, beside other aspects, especially fascinated with the experience which involves something that can be described as stagnated agency. This kind of agency was perceivable in many interviews, and it was attention-grabbing, especially because of the ambivalence and affective responses it conveys, and the way it seemed to be related to the questions of vulnerability and dependability. A stagnated agency can be found in conditions when there's an intensified need of control, but where the ways for control are not fully available or even known. In a way, there can and must be active signs of agency, efforts to control the situation, present, and that way the future too. Still, the means of these efforts are unseen and fragile, and the consequences of action unpredictable. And these active forms of agency take place in and through the processes of negotiation. Living in precarious labor market situation means that you have to negotiate with your employer, with yourself, with your occupational ethics, and so on. And these negotiations or bargains are not always verbal. Rather, they involve quite multi-leveled communication, reading of different kind of signs, acting upon them and advising them over and over again. One also has to negotiate with a faceless and profoundly unpredictable agent named Chance. Thus, no matter what one's dynamic efforts are, one always has to take into account the presence of chance, which can be seen as one of the defining elements in a precarious situation. The chance is constituted, for example, rapid alterations in global markets and production, changes in local labor markets, in organizational structures, and of course, of changes in one's own life path. But what actually happens in these negotiations? They aim at ensuring one's options, position in the present or possible upcoming workplace, income, career development, and so on. In precarious labor market conditions, people always face the necessity to make preparations for the future. And this is especially true when you have, for example, quite short-lived fixed-term contracts. And these preparations have to be made in circumstances where the present itself is fragile too, and the future is profoundly random. And this seems to produce a specific kind of orientation to time. It can be said that this constant groundwork also affects the contribution on each ongoing work project. It does this on at least two levels. One has to do the work so well that one becomes indispensable. At the same time, it causes disturbance and breaks up concentration into the task at hand. It also calls for some kind of a pretended commitment. One has to portray oneself as giving one's all, while at the same time lurking for other options. And one interviewer captures that well. When at least once or twice a week you go through those open posts and you are still trying to commit yourself to what you are doing at the present and evolve in it. And then again, next week you go through those open posts and wonder what else you could do, and then that again. And these negotiations also evoke and call for serious self-reflexivity and self-control. In order to guarantee future options, people have to modify their actions and actually themselves, according to the needs of a possible organization, or at least according to the needs of the labor market. These needs are rarely visible or obvious, and making sense of them can be hard emotional work. Adjusting oneself according to these fuzzy needs not only covers the sphere of work, but takes all the whole life, as one woman describes. I had my baby at the worst time one can imagine. My main concern is, will I ever in the world manage to get a job? The kid is here now, work was left as it was, and in this town, the labor market situation in my field is poor. Still, we should buy a house from here, and I won't necessarily manage to get a job here. I feel like being in a dead end somehow. Many of the interviewers have had multiple fixed-term contracts with the same employer. In these cases, they often described they had to be nice employees in the eyes of their bosses and co-workers in order to ensure their opportunities. They continuously had to do their tasks well, but at the same time, in a way, melt into the background. At least they could not raise any controversial issues about the workplace or provoke anyone. Self-monitoring also included the constant reading of social cues at the workplace. What did she mean by that? Did I say that in a wrong way, or what do they think? And so on. And these cues were read against one's current and possible future position, its stability or fragility in the workplace. And sometimes this reading social cues came across as something which could almost be labeled as structurally constructed paranoia. So this is related to the fact that in precarious working conditions, the employee is usually the underdog in this bargaining. This evokes a specific kind of exposure. When negotiations fail, it means in concrete terms that your employment contract is not renewed, you cannot get any more gigs, or you cannot find any jobs at all. And at this point, the situation calls for even more serious self-reflexivity. What did I do wrong? How this situation is experienced and what kind of effective responses it evokes relies heavily on the amount of investments people have made and the level of commitment and trust they have had. Failures can be externalized, explained by logical factors. That way people feel there's no one to blame and the emotional reaction may be pure unhappiness over losing something. On the other hand, this failure can be internalized and experienced as a personal failure or as a failure of personality, and such faced with feelings of depression and self-blame. When investments have been high and there has been a great amount of confidence and trust at stake, failures can also be met with feelings of resentment and anger and a sense of being treated unfairly. As one participant describes the mixture of her feelings. When thinking about myself there, I was like a loyal dog. Up until the last point, I was begging, can't you support and encourage me? And please, give at least a little bit of money so I can finish this. But no. I do beg for the acceptance somewhat, but I do get angry also. I get truly angry if I'm treated unfairly. I get angry for real. Just go to hell, you all. One important ambivalence and additional twist has to be noted at this point. I said earlier that different investments and negotiations aim at ensuring one's position in the general labor market or in the specific organization or workplace. But at the present time, here and now, those also aim at testing one's worth. As such, they can be seen as attempts to claim recognition, and therefore failures in these processes mean more than mere lost options. At this stage, we can go back to the concept of precarity. So there's no coherent group of precariat. Fragile labor market conditions affect people in quite different ways, even when their overall situation can be labeled as insecure. But what seems to divide people's experiences in my data is firstly one's attachment or absence of it to a specific employer or organization. The earlier described negotiations are accentuated in conditions where one is committed to the workplace and wants to be a part of it. But one's employment contract is fixed terms and usually renewed many times. In this kind of situation, people face that crucial hint of hope which makes them invest once again in the bargaining process. Of course, there's also other factors that reinforce dependency and create vulnerability, mainly economic distress and risks concerning one's labour market situation, such as motherhood. And in these conditions, people are more bound to hang loose, so-called, in their labour market attachment. And no one can promise them stability, but by monitoring oneself and others and acting on that premise, they always find some hope of that. And this constant so-called shadow work can be accompanied by feelings of exhaustion and stagnation. There can be great difficulties in creating protective emotional detachment from the organization. Feelings of stagnation weaken the possibilities of evaluating the overall situation and other options openly. Failing also means serious breakdowns of trust, even if there are external reasons for that.
Lena, you have a moment. We are running out of time.
Paljonko on levää? How many minutes? I have
half a time of discussion, so just...
Okay. 1 minute, is
yes,
that okay?
Okay.
Okay. So there are specific kind of labour market circumstances which seems to evoke so-called stagnated agency, which at the same time is accelerated and diminished, a way of building a feeling. The detailed analysis is still need to be done, but some overall and quite many-sided themes seem to run throughout the whole data. Questions of dependency and recognition associated with modes and consequences of monitoring oneself and the surrounding world. Also, the means, limits, and consequences of adaptation seems to be crucial. And one aspect usually associated with fragile labour market position is the need to prove one's worth and capability all over again. But there are also other quite vital issues, and one particularly interesting question too. Am I given the opportunity to prove my worth, or am I being rejected? And in what ways can I influence that? And trying to find answers to these questions and acting according to them is perhaps even trickier. At least it demands bargaining with faceless and rather impulsive associates, trying to optimize one's possibilities rationally in the situation which boils down to a gamble. I just wanted to say that.